RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. King Salman Abdulaziz Al Saud of Saudi Arabia to meet interfaith leaders in Jakarta. India recognizes Indonesian trade and investment potential. Indonesia will be involved in the Indian Mausan project. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Religious Affairs Ministry will convene religious leaders from various backgrounds in Indonesia to have an interfaith dialogue with King Salman Abdul Aziz Al Saud of Saudi Arabia when the King arrives in Jakarta for state visit from March 1st to 3rd, 2017. Minister Lukman Saifuddin said on Monday that his office will arrange the time and the venue of the interfaith dialogue, whether it would be conducted on March 2nd or 3rd, before the King flies to Bali for holiday from March 4 until 9. Minister Lukman said the interfaith forum would send messages of peace to the world, that religion should not be used as a tool to achieve political goals that could lead to extremism, radicalism, and terrorism. The government will make use of the state visit of King Salman to have an interfaith dialogue in order to have a shared understanding on how to fight extremism. Minister Lukman said religious leaders during the interfaith forum would encourage world citizens to use religion as a tool to campaign for modernization, so that people in the world could understand the benefits of religion in maintaining the world civilizations. India again increased its trade cooperation with Indonesia, especially in plastic industry sector. This was implemented through bilateral meet held by Plastic Export Promotion Council of India, Flex Council, and Embassy of India to Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday. In her opening speech, Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, Her Excellency Nangchal Lofunt Magofadaya, said the bilateral meet is a forum of recognition of the great trade and investment potential for both countries. Ambassador Nancha added, besides possessing wide economic and market potential for business, Indonesia also has strong political, social, and cultural ties with India.
Indonesia has a deep economy, it's a deep market. There's opportunities to be plowed, and again, to put it in a slightly larger political context, India and Indonesia are not strangers to each other. We've had thousands of years of contacts during which traders from different parts of India have traveled to Indonesia, brought ideas, not just goods, but ideas as well, and culture. So there's a lot of similarity in our culture.
Ambassador Nancha Lofun also emphasized that Indonesia is an interesting country not only for business but also social and historical purposes for the people of India. Therefore, the trade cooperation between India and Indonesia can keep increasing. Director of Culture, Indonesia Minister of Education and Culture, Hilmar Faris, said Indonesia will be involved in Mausan project or season project, which was initiated by the Indian Minister of Culture. Hilmar Faris, in a public discussion entitled Most, a Central Civilization and a Nation's Unity on Monday, February 27, 2017, explained that the season project is a project that wants to revive a complete history of the Indian Ocean. This history shows the connection network relationship between Indonesia, the East Coast of Africa, and Southeast Asia for centuries. Indonesia and 39 countries are invited to participate in the project. At the season project, Indonesia will promote a spice lane or shipping road network linking the East and the West world to obtain spices.
Dan Indonesia, kita diskusi ya dengan banyak pihak, teman-teman di arkeologi, sejarah, kesenian, dan lain-lain.
We discussed with many parties and we agreed to get involved in the project, although we certainly prioritize our own narrative or spice route. Since 1st century BC, we have actually sailed up to the east coast of Africa and want to raise it in the project's history. Hilmar Fader further explained the project will be aimed to make the maritime route as the world cultural heritage. During this time, the world cultural heritage is always in the front of region sites and buildings. In March 2017, Indonesia and India will discuss the Asian project. The Mosan project was launched on June 20, 2014 on the 38th World Heritage Session in Doha. The Asian project aims to figure out how knowledge and manipulation of the monsoon winds have formed the interaction in Indian Ocean and caused the spread of knowledge, system, tradition, technology, idea along the maritime routes. The governor of Indonesia has made preparation to welcome King Salman, including food. Head of the Presidential Secretariat, Darmansyah Jumala, said variety of local fruits will be served to King Salman. Many fruits will be introduced to the king during the luncheon. Darmansyah said on Monday in Jakarta that the government will set the fruits on the table, so many fruits to be enjoyed by the king. In addition to fruits, Indonesian cuisine and Middle East will be served, such as seafood and kibuli rice. A variety of snacks will also be served, perhaps grilled seafood. Then there are healthy foods like snacks and Indonesian dishes. According to Darmansyah, the king asks only healthy diet consisting of vegetables and fruits. And for the entertainment, King Salman and his Tarij will enjoy a dancing performance, especially the Aceh and Malay dances. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that the Jakarta administration is still reviewing the government regulation on electronic road pricing. He said on Monday in Jakarta that the government has revised the government regulation. The government is going to hold another tender due to the protests. Earlier, the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, KPPU, questioned the use of dedicated short-range communication, DSRC, technology with a frequency of 5.8 GHz for the ERP project in Jakarta. The frequency used is regulated in Article 8 of Jakarta Government Regulation Number 149/2016 on traffic control and DERP system. Meanwhile, Transportation Agency Deputy Head Sigit Wijayamiko confirmed the revision to the government regulation of the ERP. Meanwhile, the tender that is currently going on has not been cancelled yet. According to Sigit, the ERP tender is currently at the stage of evaluation of pre-qualification documents. The prosecutor at the Jakarta administration cannot confirm the schedule for the another tender. The 36.3-kilometer railway line connecting Manggarai Station in South Jakarta and Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten will be operational in July, offering travelers a cheaper and faster alternative, state-owned airport operator Angkasa Pura II recently announced in a statement. Angkasa Pura II President Director Muhammad Awaluddin said the operation of this train is quite important to support connectivity between Jakarta and the airport. He added it will also reduce the use of private vehicles and help reduce traffic congestion. It currently takes travelers about an hour by car or 2.5 hours by public transportation to travel between Manggarai Station and the airport during peak hours. The new train service, however, will only take 45 minutes. The train will be operated by Rail-Link, a joint venture between Angkasa Pura II and Kereta Api Indonesia. It will have a capacity up to 35,000 passengers a day. Meanwhile, the train station at Soekarno-Hatta Airport will be ready by March, which will connect three terminals at the airport. The station will be able to accommodate up to 3,500 passengers at a time, which includes 2,000 on the platform and 1,500 in the station building. Cement Indonesia, the country's biggest cement maker, posted a 0.2% increase in the net income last year amid falling sales and revenue, the company said in a filing to local boosters. On Monday, February 27, 2017, the listed state-controlled company posted 4.5 trillion rupiah or $339 million US dollars in net income last year, just slightly higher than 2015. The company's total sales and revenue dropped 3% to 26.1 trillion rupiah amid weak demand for the domestic market. Cement Indonesia's sales by volume, excluding from its subsidiaries, dropped 0.6% to 13.9 million tons last year, according to data from the Indonesian Cement Association, ASI. Meanwhile, cement export dropped 5.8% to 528,988 tons. Cement Indonesia control 42% of domestic cement market. The two other major players are Indosemen Tunggal Prakarsa and Holcim Indonesia. The three account for about 80% of the local cement market. The last item, Seni Dorsia, and Director of Financing Strategy and Portfolio of Indonesian Finance Minister, said that the government has yet to make any decision on the acquisition of Aramco's state belonging to Saudi Arabia. Saudi King Salman will promote the Aramco initial public offering IPO to an issue to Indonesia on March 1st until 9, 2017. Snyder said on Monday, trade cooperation export of Indian Saudi Arabian products. Earlier, the kingdom said it will relinquish its 5% share in Saudi Aramco to the public. In an interview with CNBC News, King Salman said that Saudi Aramco's shares were worth $2 trillion US dollars, meaning that it will dispose of its $100 billion US dollar worth of share, or more than 1,300 trillion rupiah. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said that Aramco will invest roughly $10 billion US dollars in Indonesia. The company will establish refineries as well as oil tanks and distribution lines in Indonesia. It is agreed by the parties that will be prepared by Finance Minister and Chief Economic Minister of Indonesia. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled What is the benefit of King Salman visit for Indonesia? King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud of Saudi Arabia and the entourage are scheduled to visit Indonesia from 1st to March 9, 2017. On March 1st to 3rd, they are scheduled to visit Jakarta and Bogor. Then the king and his entourage will be leaving for a vacation in Bali. This is the first time in 47 years after the visit of Saudi Arabian King Faisal bin Abdul Aziz in 1970 to Indonesia. Thought almost all Indonesian presidents have visited the country, no wonder that this visit is so special for Indonesia. Moreover, Saudi Arabia is geographically the fifth largest country in Asia and the second largest in Arab world. During the visit of King Salman, the agenda of Altra talks will include, among other things, the additional quota of Indonesian Hajj pilgrims, the increase of Middle East tourists to Indonesia, and the protection of Indonesian citizens living in Saudi Arabia. In addition, the counter-terrorism and Saudi Arabian investment in Indonesia will also be discussed during King Salman's visit. For Indonesia, Saudi Arabia can be an entry point to access funds from the Middle East. Indonesian government needs much fund today, particularly for infrastructure development. Quite a large amount of fund from the Middle East has been invested in neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Singapore. Meanwhile, in Indonesia, the amount is not significant. The cause is whether Indonesia is less active or less open to the Middle East. However, it should be noted that Saudi Arabia, that depends 85% of its state revenue from oil, is now in deficit due to lower world oil prices. The country is forced to launch a program aimed at diversifying the economy, and it no longer relies on oil alone. It is natural that many parties in Indonesia would like to take advantage of the visit of King Salman as a momentum to obtain funds from the Middle East that seems to reluctantly stop by in Indonesia. Hopefully, the visit of King Salman will bring about a lot of benefit to both countries. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is a reboot service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1922. The United Kingdom ends its protectorate over Egypt through a unilateral declaration of independence. The unilateral declaration of Egyptian independence was issued by the government of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland on February 28, 1922.
Through this declaration, the British government unilaterally ended its protectorate over Egypt and granted it nominal independence, with the exception of four reserved areas: foreign relations, communication, the military, and the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan. Although it met the Egyptian nationalists' immediate demands for an end to the protectorate, the declaration was globally unsatisfactory since it did not grant Egypt full independence. This led to sustained pressure on the United Kingdom from Egyptian nationalists to renegotiate the relationship between the two countries, which finally occurred with the signing of the Anglo-Egyptian Treaty of 1936. Over now to 1947, February 28th incident in Taiwan, civil disorder is put down with the loss of an estimated 30,000 civilians. The February 28th incident, or February 28th massacre, was an anti-government uprising in Taiwan that was violently suppressed by the Kuomintang-led Republic of China government, which killed thousands of civilians beginning on February 28th, 1947. Estimates of the number of deaths vary from 10,000 to 50,000 or more. The massacre marked the beginning of the White Terror period, in which tens of thousands more inhabitants vanished, died, or were imprisoned. This incident is one of the most important events in Taiwan's modern history and was a critical impetus for the Taiwan independence movement. Last item is from 1972, Sino-American relations. The United States and People's Republic of China signed the Shanghai Communique. The joint communique of the United States of America and the People's Republic of China, also known as the Shanghai Communique 1972, was an important diplomatic document issued by the United States and the People's Republic of China on February 28, 1972, during President Richard Nixon's visit to China. The document pledged that it was in the interest of all nations for the United States and China to work towards the normalization of their relations, although this would not occur until the joint communique on the establishment of diplomatic relations 7 years later. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on the Australia and Indonesia agreement to continue defense cooperation. Indonesia and Australia have formally restored military relations between the two countries, 2 months after Indonesia put off military cooperation with Australia related to teaching materials considered insulting Indonesian ideology of Pancasila. The restoration was announced by the Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull during President Joko Widodo's recent visit to the country. As quoted by Antara News Agency, after a bilateral meeting at Kirribilli House in Sydney on Sunday, February 26, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said Australia and Indonesia agreed to continue cooperation in the field of defense, both in exchange and training activities. He explained, outside the government, the industry in Australia and Indonesia are aware of the great economic potential that has not been tapped. This concerns the defense industry, such as armored vehicles being manufactured by the defense industry. The Indonesian military froze all defense cooperation with Australia in December 2016. Later, it was said that this was only concerned the language training program. The freezing was triggered by an incident when an Indonesian commandos instructor was teaching personnel of the Australian Commandos or Special Air Service in a military training facility in Perth. The Indonesian instructor felt there were some elements on display at the facility considered to be insulting to Indonesia. Later, General Gatot Nurmantia of Indonesia said, "The insulting elements, among others, were notes on the Indonesian military in the past, East Timor, in Papua independence, and Pancasila ideology." before the military relationships between the two countries formally restored on February the 8th, 2017, the Australian military commander Angus Campbell met up with the military generals in Jakarta to apologize. Indonesian Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantio of Indonesia accepted that. In a press conference with President Joko Widodo, Prime Minister Turnbull said Indonesia and Australia will continue to move towards a strong partnership dedicated to mutual interests. He also stated Australia strongly committed to the territorial integrity of Indonesia, practical bilateral cooperation in combating terrorism, extremism, and violence are aimed at making all safer and more secure in the territory of both countries. Additionally, Prime Minister Turnbull explained Indonesia and Australia also have a common interest in peace and stability in the land and the sea, and the two countries continue to encourage neighboring countries to resolve disputes and issues based on international law. Well, that was Focus over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian Religious Affairs Ministry will convene religious leaders from various backgrounds in Indonesia to have an interfaith dialogue with King Salman Abdul Hasyim Al Saud of Saudi Arabia when the King arrives in Jakarta for a state visit from March 1 until 3, 2017. India again increases trade cooperation with Indonesia, especially in plastic industry sector. This was implemented through buyer-seller meet held by Plastic Export Promotion Council of India, Plex Council and Embassy of India to Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday. Director General of Culture at Indonesia Minister of Education and Culture Hilmar Faris said Indonesia will be involved in Muhasam project or season project which was initiated by the Indian Minister of Culture. The government of Indonesia has made preparation to welcome King Salman, including food. Head of the Presidential Secretariat Darmansyah Jumala said various of local foods will be served to King Salman. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that Jakarta administration is still reviewing the governor regulation on electronic road pricing. Governor Basuki said on Monday in Jakarta that the government has revised the governor regulation and the government is going to hold another tender due to a protest. The 36.3-kilometer railway line connecting Manggarai Station in South Jakarta and Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Tangerang Banten will be operational in July, offering travelers a cheaper and faster alternative, state-owned airport operator Angkasa Pura II recently announced in a statement. Semen Indonesia, the country's biggest cement maker, posted a 0.2% increase in net income last year amid falling sales and revenue, the company said in a filing to the local bourse on Monday, February 27, 2017. Snider Siaan, Director of Financing Strategy and Portfolio of Indonesian Finance Ministry, said that the government has yet to make any decision on the acquisition of Aramco State belonging to Saudi Arabia. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to the Southeast Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, North Konawe is one of regencies in Southeast Sulawesi. The regency was formed in 2007, which is an expansion of Konawe Regency. Compared to other regions, the tourism sector of North Konawe is getting more growing, especially because the tourism potential of this area is great. North Konawe was awarded the Ecotourism, Culture and Maritime, which is known by many travelers. For example, Labengki Island, which was claimed as the miniature of Raja Ampat, is one of the tourism attractions in this area which are already popular worldwide. Moreover, the local government is developing tourism sector known as the Diamond Triangle Tourism. The integrated tourism destination of Diamond Triangle, by name for three favorite tourism destinations in North Konawe, consists of a Wawolesia hot water bath, Taipa Beach and Labengki tourism area. For today's edition of the regular Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to closely know one of the integrated tourism destinations of Diamond Triangle, namely the Wawolesia hot water bath. The Wawolesia object is located in Lasolo sub-district, North Konawe Regency, better known with the name of Wales. It's so easy to be rich. From the city of Kendari, the capital of Southeast Sulawesi province, the distance to the site is only about 80 kilometers and 20 kilometers from the Wanggudu sub-district, the capital of North Konawe Regency. From Kendari, this tourism object can be taken for approximately 2 hours using land transportation. The hot water bath is located in the limestone mountains with hundreds of hot springs that do not stop to bring out the hot water from the earth. Listener, once arriving in Wawolesia, you will be amazed by the beauty of the hot water bath. It's formed like terrace ring of rice field, but contained hot water. On the first bath, the water is cold, then warm and relatively hot. Overall, this tourism area are white with very clear water and surrounded by pine trees. If lucky, you can see monkeys, deer, and birds that roam in the forest. During your stay in the area, please enjoy the freshness of hot water to soak. You can choose your own level of hot water there. Not just soaking, you can also get benefits from the hot water, because according to the local belief, the water can cure various diseases due to the sulfur content is high enough. In the eastern part of hot water bathing pool, you can find a rock resemble an overturned boat. According to the folklore, the stone is associated with Wawolesia royal history. According to the myth, the brave and respected Wawolesia king married his own daughter, so he cursed into a boat-shaped stone. From the top of the rock, you can look at the high sea, where you can see Labengki and Pahulu Islands. Wawolesia hot bathing pool attractions has already been equipped by various facilities such as bathrooms, pavilion for rest, restaurant and parking area. Listener, that was today's segment of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Wawolesia hot bathing pool. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Terry Wood Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Membuat Tahu Bulat Bagian 2, or in English, Making Round Tofu Part 2. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Membuat. Membuat in English, to make. Tahu. Tahu, tofu. Bulat. Bulat, round. Sangat mudah. Sangat mudah. Very easy. Bahan-bahan. Bahan-bahan, ingredients. Sederhana. Sederhana, simple. Perlu. Perlu, to need or necessary. Satu. Satu, one. Kotak. Kotak, rectangular. Kuning telur. Kuning telur, egg yolk. Merica bubuk. Merica bubuk, white pepper powder. Garam, garam, salt. Baking soda, in English also baking soda. Haluskan, haluskan, to grind or pound. Campur, campur, to mix. Bentuk, bentuk, shape. Minyak, minyak, oil. Panas, panas, hot. Kuning, kuning, yellow. Hidangkan, hidangkan, to be served. Besok, besok, tomorrow. Bersama-sama, bersama-sama, together. Next is a conversation on Membuat Tahu Bulat Bagian 2, or in English, Making Round Tofu Part 2. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Emma and Wati. Apakah kamu bisa membuat tahu bulat, Wati? Apakah kamu bisa membuat tahu bulat, Wati? In English, do you know how to make round tofu, Wati? Tentu saja, of course. Membuat tahu bulat sangat mudah. Membuat tahu bulat sangat mudah. Making round tofu is very easy. Bahan-bahannya juga sederhana. Bahan-bahannya juga sederhana. The ingredients are also simple. Apa saja yang diperlukan? Apa saja yang diperlukan? What do you need? Satu buah tahu kotak, satu buah kuning telur, merica bubuk, garam, dan baking soda. Satu buah tahu kotak, satu buah kuning telur, merica bubuk, garam, dan baking soda. A piece of rectangular tofu, one egg yolk, pepper, salt, and some baking soda. Lalu bagaimana cara membuatnya? Lalu bagaimana cara membuatnya? And then how to make it? Tahu dihaluskan, kemudian masukkan bahan-bahan lain, campurkan. Tahu dihaluskan, kemudian masukkan bahan-bahan yang lain, campurkan. Crush the tofu to pulp, then put in other ingredients, mix them well. Bentuk menjadi bulat-bulat, kemudian masukkan ke dalam minyak yang sudah panas. Bentuk menjadi bulat-bulat, kemudian masukkan ke dalam minyak yang sudah panas. Make round shape and put it on hot oil. Goreng sampai kuning. Goreng sampai kuning. Fry until turns yellow. Tahu bulat sudah bisa dihidangkan. Tahu bulat sudah bisa dihidangkan. Round shape tofu is ready to serve. Oh, mudah sekali. Oh, mudah sekali. Well, it's so easy. Bagaimana kalau besok kita bersama-sama membuat tahu bulat? Bagaimana kalau besok kita bersama-sama membuat tahu bulat? How about making round tofu together tomorrow? Baiklah. Baiklah, okay. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Tari, to our segment of Music Corner. For today's edition, we will play some download songs for you, so stay tuned.
Perahu kayu yang terombang-ambing di tengah laut biru, lajuku hilang terhempas arus gelombang. Karena kini kau tak di sisiku, padang. ada kabar kau beri. Menunggumu aku masih di sini.
You have just listened to a song entitled Muara Hati, sung by Evie Masamba. The song, which was released in 2015, told us about sadness in waiting for beloved lover. The song was arranged with slow tempo or slow beat with drum, flute, and violin instruments. The song with a sad nuance was created by Baya Nur, one of the talented creators of dangdut song in Indonesia. With Hendro Sakis' arrangement, this song sounds more eminent with Evie Masamba's voice. This song has a high difficulty because it has the lowest to the highest tone. Muara Hati is Evie's debut single and a glory song after winning the Dangdut Academy Contest Season 2. This song is dominated by Dangdut Song Chart almost in all Indonesian radios. RBT of this song was not so bad in demand because only a few days this song was played after Evie won the Academy. This song immediately came in the first place as the most popular Dangdut songs. Before we talk more about Evie Masamba's song, let us listen to another Evie song entitled Rembulan di Siang Hari.
Diriku
listeners, the singer who has a real name Evi Anggraini has a unique voice with clear and clean voice, flexible and powerful. Her soprano voice sounds very good. Besides singing, Evi also debuted in acting by starring in several television films. After successfully released her debut single, Evi Masamba released her second single in 2016. The song, which was composed by Hussein Auda, tells us about someone's disappointment who was left her boyfriend. Like her first single, Rembulan di Siang Hari also has a slow tempo or slow beat. The song was preceded with the roll and dedicated by Evi very well. The drum instrument listened along this song. Listener, to conclude our segment, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bukankah Kamu Tahu and Cinta Semusim will be present Evi Masamba. Happy listening and goodbye.
Bukan
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.